I want to thank you for being a church that gets outside of the walls of this building and not just hide behind stained glass and sing all the time and listen to the word, but you actually go out there and get involved in the lives of people and kindness projects like this. And so thank you for being a part of that. If your Sunday school class was not a part of it, we will have more of these coming up. Let us know that you would like to be, or if you're an individual and you'd like to be a part of one of these kindness events, then let us know. It's a great opportunity to show the love of Christ, meet people's needs, and have gospel conversations with them. So thank you again for those of you who last Saturday went out and were a part of those. I want to share a few thoughts with you before we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. What do you think of Jesus? It really matters a great deal what you believe about Him. Our culture believes certain things about Jesus, and in general, it's mostly positive. Surveys show time and time again that what people in our country think of Jesus, generally positive. Now, it's misguided many times, but it's mostly positive. They have created Jesus into an image of who they want Him to be. They have Him saying things that they want Him to say. They want Him to approve what they believe. And they want Him to approve how they live. They want a Savior who's safe to follow if you're unrepentant. They want a Savior that doesn't offend. He just loves you. He just wants a relationship with you. He makes no demands of you. Just have a relationship. They want Jesus to be a symbol. Symbol of many things, a symbol of love. They want Him to be a symbol of forgiveness, a symbol of race relations, a symbol of social justice, a symbol of poverty, a symbol of morality. They want Him to be symbolic of our culture. They want salvation without submission. They want heaven without holiness, and they want grace without godliness. That's who our culture views Jesus to be. Other belief systems have other beliefs about Jesus. Muslims believe that He was a prophet. He was a miracle worker. They believe that He was a teacher, not the Son of God, but a really, really good teacher. They believe that He was born not in a manger, but under a palm tree. And that He rose up out of the cradle and declared He was the next prophet. That's who Muslims believe Jesus to be. Hindus believe Jesus is the ultimate self-realization to attain to the highest level of God consciousness. They believe He traveled to South Asia and studied meditation and then went back to Israel and was this profound guru. Buddhists believe Jesus was the perfectly enlightened being, just exactly like Buddha. The Japanese believe about Jesus. There's a section of northern Japan that has a special, unique belief about Christ. They believe that He really was not crucified, that at the last moment, just before they crucified Him, his little brother, swept in and they crucified His brother instead of Him. Everybody thought it was Jesus. His little brother's name was Yusuke. And they believe Jesus then, under the cover of night, fled to the Roman Empire by way of Central Asia and Siberia, and He settled down in northern Japan to be a garlic farmer. And He fell in love with a local farmer's daughter. They married, and He had three kids, all daughters, and He lived to be 106. And then He died. They buried Him under a cross on a hill outside of Shingo, Japan, on some land that belonged to His descendants. That's what they believe about Jesus. So what do you believe about Him? I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul believed about Jesus. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Here he goes. Who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Paul said that Jesus is both human and divine both. So let's talk about each of those briefly. First of all, number one, let's talk about the humanity of Jesus. The humanity of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth was the most unique individual who ever walked the planet. He was not a myth. He was a real man. Born in a particular place, had a particular mother. We know her name. We know where he was born in history. He was not just an idea or a concept. He was real. And this fact is virtually undisputed today. 92% of Americans believe Jesus lived. That there was a historical figure by the name of Jesus born in the Middle East and lived a life. 92% of Americans believe that. In fact, there used to be a day not long ago that scholars debated whether Christ really lived or not. But anymore, there's so much overwhelming proof that he did that most scholars, if not all credible scholars, they acknowledge he lived. There's a lot of evidence that he lived. So the importance of his humanity cannot be overstated. Now, don't rush to make Jesus God just quite yet, okay? Hold on with me. We'll get there, I promise. We want to rush to, oh, he's God. Hang on. He was every bit of you, like you, except he didn't sin. He was exactly like you. Exactly. Fully human. Not partly. Fully. Jesus could not affect the kind of intercession a priest must offer if he was not fully human. He was a man. He wasn't this spirit walking around. Wasn't this ghost or apparition. He was a real live man. He had flesh. He had blood. He was Jewish. We don't know what he looked like. The Bible does not tell us in the New Testament what he looked like. We're curious. Was he tall? Was he short? Did he have dark skin? Most likely probably did. Did he have long hair? We don't know. It doesn't say. Now, the Old Testament does give us a brief picture of what he looked like physically. And it tells us that he had nothing about him that was good looking. It's kind of ugly. He had no form about him that you would say, oh, that's a good looking man. But we don't know exactly what he looked like. He was strong. We know that. Muscular. How do you know that? Well, the Bible calls him for his occupation a tecton. Now, a tecton in Greek, we interpret it as carpenter. Most of our carpenters work with wood. In biblical days, they worked some with wood, but they worked mostly with rocks, big, huge rocks. He's a rock cutter. There are a whole lot more rocks in Israel than there are trees, a lot more. And so he probably worked mostly with rocks. That's what a tecton did. And so to do that without modern technology, you had to be strong to move these rocks and these boulders around. Most likely doing that his entire life, he was probably a muscular man. He was viewed as a man. If you saw him walking down the street, you'd go, there goes a man. You don't go, oh, it's a ghost. He looked like a man. Now that's important. Whenever he grew up for 30 years in the little town of Nazareth, everybody in the town knew him as a man. How do you know that? Because when he went back there after his ministry started and he taught with such power and authority, they're going, whoa, where did that come from? We've known him his whole life. He's just a man like we are. How does he teach with such authority? We know his mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, and we know his brothers, James and Jude and Simon and Joseph, and we know who they are. Where did he come from? He's just a man. And then he grew. He wasn't born fully grown. He didn't come down from heaven as a 30-year-old. He came as an infant, tiny baby. And he cried. Oh, Jesus cried. Yes, babies cry. I know. The song Away in a Manger at Christmas. I know it says, little Lord Jesus, no crying he made. Sure he cried. He's human. He's just like you and just like me. He grew. Babies grow. He grew. He got bigger. And as he did, he grew in favor, stature, and wisdom, and favor with God and man. Whoa, hold on. He grew in wisdom? Yeah. Are you wise as a baby? No. Oh, but it's Jesus. He's God, so he's got all knowledge from the moment he arrived. No, he didn't. He grew in it, we're told in Scripture. He even grew in knowledge. We're told that. Why, he knew everything as a little baby. Do all babies know everything? No. He's God. Hold on a second. We'll get there. Let him be human. Just like us. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, he learned how to obey. He didn't know it at first. He learned it. He learned obedience, we're told, by being a son. He grew. He changed. He limited himself in every respect like us. But he never sinned. Now, we're told in Hebrews 4:15 that Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So, evidently, sin is not a part of what it means to be human. You see, I think we think it is. Well, we're human, so we all sin. What about Jesus? Oh, well, here's God. Hold on, I'm telling you. Wait on me. He's 100% human. Let that sink in. Just like you. But he never sinned. Now, I hear in Baptist churches all the time, heard it the other day, a false teaching that was condemned as heresy. I'll tell you about that in a moment in church history. Whenever I teach at DBU, my students 100% of the time get it wrong. They say Jesus could not sin, didn't have the capability of sinning because he's God. Hold on. How was he tempted? How was he tempted? He's like me. I'm tempted. The only difference between Jesus and me, we're both tempted. We both could sin, but he didn't. I hear all the time, well, he was God. His father was God. He couldn't sin. Then what were the temptations about? He went into the wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted for 40 days, so he's out there play-acting, right? Well, I really can't sin, but let's go through this little charade, okay? I want to show that I'm human. So I really can't sin, but all these temptations, oh, the devil's tempted, oh, this is so bad. No, he was not play-acting. He could have. And he didn't. The life that I could not live, he lived for me. But he never sinned. In fact, those temptations were so severe, we're told in Luke, that after they were over, angels came to minister to him. Oh, so they're just going through this little charade. It wasn't possible for him to sin. But they go through this because, oh, we want to show that he's like us. He could have. He was tempted to. But he didn't. Folks, that's powerful. We'll get to him being God in a moment. Think about his humanity for a moment. He was 100% us. And we need a Savior who's like us. Now, through church history, there developed two primary false teachings about the humanity of Jesus. Let me mention both of them to you right quick. One of them was called Docetism. You'll see it on the screen. It comes from the Greek word dokio, which means to appear or to seem like. So they believed Jesus really was not human. He just looked like it. But he was really a ghost. You see him walking down the street, and you go, oh, there goes a man. But if you go up to him and encountered him, he really wasn't real. He just seemed to be real. This teaching in the early church almost threatened the church. Did you know that? And their reasoning was this: God is pure and God is holy, and God cannot be stained by humanity. So to believe that God came into flesh and lived everyday lives would be blasphemous. So it looked like he was a man, but he wasn't. It was an illusion. Now, Docetism is not taught today. There is one belief system that's really close to it. It's Islam. Islam teaches Jesus was not a redeemer. He was a divine illuminator, and he was a spirit. Close. Council of Nicaea, 325 AD, Docetism was condemned as false teaching, as heresy. Here's the second one. This hits more closer to home to some of us. This belief was called Apollinarianism. It was named after the man who put forward this belief, Apollinarius, who was a bishop of Syria, 4th century. And Apollinarius said that it would be ludicrous to think that God and humanity could dwell in the same body. That's crazy to think. So Apollinarius said, it must be something going on. So here's what happened. He taught that Jesus was mostly God, and there was a little bitty tiny piece of him that was not. And that piece was skin. Flesh. Everything else was God. So his God in him was so overwhelming of everything else that he was really God. He was no human to him. He was God. So therefore, he could not be tempted because he was God. That sounds like belief today, doesn't it? Well, Apollinarianism was condemned. Council of Constantinople, 381 AD, as being false teaching. He wasn't mostly God and a little bit human. He was 100% God and 100% human. He was both. Let him be human. Because you need him to be human. And so do I. I need a Savior. Somebody like me who never messed up. But now let's talk about his deity, number two. Told you we'd get there. Number two, the deity of Jesus. Most Americans don't believe this as much as they do believe that Jesus lived. 92% of Americans believe Jesus lived, but only 52% of Americans, right at half, believe Jesus was God. I believe he was, but that's only about half of Americans believe that. The younger you are, the less likely you are to believe that. Most of the people in America who believe Jesus is God are older. The younger generations, the younger you get, the less likely you are to believe that he's God. In fact, the most recent generation, only 38% of them believe he was. There are other groups that do not believe Jesus was God in the flesh. However, that's the heart of our belief system. But there are other groups that do not believe Jesus was God. Muslims don't believe it. Mormons don't believe it. Latter-day Saints. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe Jesus was God. Christian Science do not believe it. United Church of God don't believe Jesus was God. Unification Church, Unity School of Christianity don't believe Jesus was God. Scientology, Dianetics, not believe Jesus is God. I was in McDonald's one time talking to Jehovah's Witness. He was one of their leaders. And we're talking, and he said, after talking about Jesus' deity being God, and the Jehovah's Witness leader said, that Jesus never claimed to be God. That's something you folks claim for him. I mean, we're standing right there in front of the drink fountain. And he says, you claim that for him. He never claimed that. Show me where Jesus ever said, I am God. He never did. You claim that for him. How would you respond? Did he ever claim to be God? Let's consider a few things. First of all, Jesus never shied away from the title, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. Everybody knew in Jewish life the phrase, I am, was God's name. Remember the Old Testament, Yahweh? Who do I say sent me? Moses asked. I am that I am is my name. And here comes along Jesus, and he said, my name is I am. Okay, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Over and over and over, he said, I am. Even in Revelation 22, 13, near the last, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So he never shied away from naming himself God's name. I would never do that. Greg, what's your name? I'm the great I am. No, you're not. Let's go a little further. Jesus made statements that any other human being, if they made them, would be ludicrous. Think about this. In Matthew 13, 41, Jesus said, I'm going to send my angels to judge the world. Can you imagine another human being saying, yep, one of these days, the world's going to end. I'm going to send my angels down there to judge the world. Well, that'd be ludicrous for anybody else to say, wouldn't it? He said it. Got no pushback. He claimed to forgive sins. I've never known one human in my life that claims to forgive sins. That's a divine prerogative. Yet he claimed to forgive sins. Matthew 25, he said at the end of the world, I'm going to sit on my throne and I'll gather the sheep and the goats to me. The sheep on one side that'll go to life, the goats on the other that'll go to destruction, and I will be the one that decides. What other human being could say that? I couldn't. But he did. He claimed to go beyond the law. He said, you have heard it said, but I say to you, can you imagine me standing up on Sunday morning and saying, okay, folks, here's what the Bible says, but let me tell you something different. You'd go, we need a new preacher. He went beyond the law. No human can say that. He claimed a special relationship with the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. I don't claim that. Any other human would be ludicrous to claim that. Yet he did. He claimed to pre-exist. Before Abraham was, I am. That's a declaration of God, of being eternal. It came from his lips, claiming to be God. You remember at the crucifixion, his trial? Pilate asked him, are you the Son of God? You remember what he said? He said, you say that. Let me tell you something. Hereafter, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of glory. I couldn't say that. If I was on trial for something, would I stand there and go, okay, from now on, you're going to see me coming in the clouds of glory? He was divine. He was God, flesh. But now, let's go a little further. Think about what they called him, the titles. Lord. Many times through the Bible, he's called Lord. And I know, sometimes the word Lord in Scripture means just a title of respect, like sir, but it also has Christological implications. Lord meant God. And he was called the Lord. Paul frequently called him the Lord. Clearly deity was meant. William Charles Robinson says, quote, when Jesus is addressed as the exalted Lord, he is so identified with God the Father that there's ambiguity in many passages whether they're talking about the Father or the Son, because they're both God. So they call him Lord, but he's also called God at least 7 times, Wayne Grudem says, in Scripture, Jesus is called God. 1 by Thomas after the resurrection. But he's also called Son of Man 48 times in Scripture. Those have messianic overtones in Jewish life. Whenever the title of Messiah is mentioned, Jews know it to mean God coming to us. And 48 times he was called that. He was also called Messiah. Messiah was a common title in Jewish life. Messiah and Christ meant the same. Both words mean anointing. Christ, Messiah. So, the word Christ is not his last name, it's his title. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Messiah. That would be ludicrous for me to claim that title. Greg the Messiah. What? But when he was called that, he accepted it. He was God. And he was called the Son of God, the heavenly eternal Son, who's equal to the Father, as Paul told us. Here in Philippians 2, Hebrews, 1 Corinthians, Matthew, all tell us that. He was God in the flesh. Now, there were a couple of false teachings about that that developed in the centuries. Let me mention those briefly. One of them was called Ebionism. You'll see it on the screen here. Ebionism believed, a group of Jewish Christians in the early church, second century, believed Jesus was only a man. He really was not God. He was a good man, probably the best man, but he wasn't God in the flesh. They taught that. And here's the reason they believe that. Ebionist says that there can only be one God. We are monotheists. We believe in only one God. So if God's in heaven, then Jesus down here can't be God too. So they believed, here's what happened, that all of Jesus' life, he was just a normal human being. He was born a normal human being, no virgin birth, just normal human being. 30 years, just a normal human, but at the age of 30, whenever he was baptized, and he went down in the water and came back up, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." At that moment, something happened where God filled him in a special way. He's not God, they say, but he filled him in a special way, and he stayed that way for the rest of 3.5 years, and then on the cross, whenever he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, God left him, and he's back to being a human again. So that was how they tried to get around Jesus not being God and there only being one God. This teaching was condemned as false teaching. Fortunately, it did not get root in the church, early church, and it was condemned as heresy. But here's the second one. Fourth century, there was a church leader in Alexandria by the name of Arius. This is called Arianism. Arian had the same thought. God can't be God in heaven and on, he can't be in both places. So God is God in heaven. He is exalted and lifted up. And Jesus, he's a really good person, but he's not quite God. And so Arian believed God is the only one who has divine attributes. He even created Jesus. So Jesus is good, but he's not God. He's similar. Very, very similar. But not the same. He's not in the same class. So Arian, it was a big debate in the church for a while, but finally Arianism was condemned as false teaching, and the church survived another heresy. Today, Arianism is still alive. Did you know that? It's in the form of Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witness beliefs and theology are Arianism repackaged. It's identical. Believe the same things. So Jehovah's Witnesses today are the false teaching of Arius in the fourth century. So it matters greatly who you believe Jesus to be, because your eternal destiny depends on it. Scriptural teaching is Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, yet without sin. You wait a minute, you can't have 200%. You can, it's Jesus. He's not 50-50. He's fully both. And that's what Paul taught us in Philippians 2. Seven years after Jesus died and resurrected, there's a man born by the name of Flavius Josephus. He was Jewish. He went on to become a Roman Jewish historian and a great military leader. Josephus is important because he wrote an account of the life of the Jews. Now, he was not a Christian. He's Jewish, but he wasn't Christian. He didn't believe Jesus to be the Messiah. But it's important because Josephus was the very first independent account of the life of Jesus. Not what's in Scripture. It's Josephus. He was the first one. He wrote about the time of Revelation. So Josephus, not being a Christian on his own, wrote several books about the history of the Jews. One of them was called The Antiquities of the Jews. I want to read you an excerpt. This is early on. This is from The Antiquities of the Jews, book 18, section 3.3, on Christ. But he's not a believer. Quote, "Now there was about this time a man named Jesus, a wise man." Is it lawful to even call him a man? "For he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both Jews and many Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men among us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him. For he appeared to them alive again on the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold. These and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him, and the tribe of Christians named after him, are not extinct to this day." Very early, Jesus, we knew, was God and man. And folks, that's why a relationship with him is the only way you can be right with God. I have nothing against any other belief system. It's just that nobody else qualifies to be the Savior. except Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you today for your goodness, and thank you, Lord, for how you've taught us the truth. Taught us that God is 100% in the person of Jesus, fully man, exactly like me, yet he never sinned. Lord, you've taught us that Jesus is God in the flesh, the great I am walking among us, 100% of both. And that's our confession. So, Lord, I thank you that in the person of Christ, where God and man met perfectly, that we can celebrate today what he did for our salvation. Lord, I know there are probably those here today that they've never been saved. They're not a child of yours, because there's never been a time in their life they've repented of their sins and through a prayer with their own lips received you into their heart and life. But Father, I pray today that you would speak to that person, whoever it is, online or in person here, and you would convict them that today is the day they need to receive you, because the only way they can be right with you is through him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.